We are being recorded on our July 14th blessing call, and I did share a little small talk before we started recording. Then as we got into something significant, I realized I had not started the recording, so here we are for everyone who is planning to join us later. And I have had a lot of feedback from people who join later and still feel the presence of Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit coming through this moment. Because there are so many of us who surrender to this moment of now just to be together. I was starting to describe some of the differences I'm noticing about the world is changing. And I'm talking about positive differences. I realize there are a lot of challenging changes going on, a lot of changes we don't really want to happen. And we don't know yet what the light at the end of the tunnel on some of those changes will be. But what some of the positive changes I'm noticing is that in former years, and I would say a number of years back, in order to be in the now here with myself, I would need to first kind of be quiet, be alone, be with myself, maybe in prayer or meditation. And it was about the self-actualization of being myself as myself. And now I'm finding that I have a better experience discovering that in the company of other people. And that confirms a theory that I've been reading about, and I think it really is true. And that is that the pendulum swings about every 30 years from a me processing sequence to a we processing sequence. And the we cycle that we are in now started about the time, or shortly after 9/11, about 2001, 2002. So we're about 10 years into that. And we have had a lot of events, social events, political events, cosmic events, that have carried us deeper into the state of we consciousness. And I think that the way we grasp the strength from that is to understand the commandments of Yeshua. He said to love another as yourself and to love God with all your heart. He didn't go stand on a mountain. Actually, in a way, I think Yeshua bridged a generation or a cycle of me, because in his early years, if you notice, there's no recording of them. There's no mention of them. And then once he started his ministry, he would regain his strength by going to the desert alone. A lot of his parables in the early years of his teachings were directed toward individual responsibility, like for the right use of talent, individual practicing of faith, of generosity, of charity. And then there was a point toward about the last 2 years of his ministry before the crucifixion when everything was about we. I think he straddled the cycle. And if you notice, actually, he was born at a time where the world was expecting this great Herculean hero to rise up as a grand individual and take his people to victory, lead them to victory like David did against Goliath. So David would have been a very good example of a time in history that was focused upon heroes and individuals that stood out from the crowd and claimed their leadership position within the crowd. But I think that Yeshua was born into that kind of state of expectation, but he transitioned it into another state of expectation. So there's a lot we could learn about how he transitioned his life from one state to the next. One of the things I want to talk to you about tonight is a very, very important subject that we also need to transition from. And I think it has a lot to do with moving from the me cycle into the we cycle. Now, the we cycle, it's not to say it's better than the me cycle. Actually, both of them kind of fall flat toward about the end of the 30 years. If you trace the cycles back, you'll find that the end of the me cycle turned into a lot of selfish corruption and a lot of witch hunting about highly accomplished individuals with really big secrets. Those have to come down in favor of more transparency, which is a we consideration, more transparency. But the last time we ended a we cycle, which was in the late 60s, early 70s, what we had was we had moved into so much conformity, with especially around the Vietnam War, people who were extremely conservative voting for Richard Nixon, and then the Woodstock crowd had polarized against that and were fighting for peace, if that isn't a contradiction in terms, they were. And there was no new we cycle that could resolve that conflict. The only thing that could resolve the conflict was sterling and strong individuals that rose up and encouraged us to take command of our personal responsibility. And we had a really beautiful 30 years of a lot of spiritual work recognizing the importance of the self as the sole responsibility of our life and the reality we create and so forth. So both of these cycles have very important, alternating, valuable contributions. And at the end of the cycle, they wear thin and they move into the worst case scenario of what that cycle can be, which is what promotes the next cycle to arise. Well, we're kind of in the heyday of the we cycle because this is a big one. It's coinciding with globalization. It's coinciding with social networking. It's coinciding with so many humanity issues where we are called to accept one another as a family. And it's a very, very important we cycle. And to learn to be in that cycle with one another peacefully, finding our balance inside that, is an extremely important thing to do right now. But as I said, there's an allied subject I want to talk about, and that is the difference between priorities and what matters most. You might think they were the same, but they're really not. For a long time, at well over a century since we got into the what I would call the business industrial era, the study of priority for efficiency in management of business, management of government, has been an extremely important thing that resulted in much higher yields of human and social importance. And the efficient use of resources. And so many people still teach that today. You can sign up for courses from any number of motivational teachers. One of the first things they'll bring up inside of their course, which is probably a very good course, will be about establishing your priorities. What do you do first? What do you do next? And so forth. And getting them straight is a valuable part of your life efficiency, especially in moving toward goals. But now I want to change the concept just a little bit. What matters most? You know, something incredible happened in the late 1700s when the Declaration of Independence was written. The men who wrote that came up with a conceptualization that the world had never seen written down before. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that we all have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, those are things that might have been thought about by a lot of people and might have casually, indirectly been part of various pieces of great literature, but nobody ever stated those precepts before. Now, my friends, these are not priorities, because you can't put these on a goals formation list. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's my goal. You can't do that. But if you don't have your values in place, you don't have something worth working for when it comes to your goals. So let's say the priorities belong to your goals, but what belongs to your life? What matters most? And it made all the difference that those men in the late 18th century conceptualized what matters most. And I would say what made the United States a great place to live, that the rest of the world honored for 200 years, was that most people lived by the concepts of what mattered most. And not just those three or four essential concepts, but people in their own lives would think about what matters most. Some would say their family. Some would say God. Some would say being faithful to my beliefs. Everybody had their own version, but people started vocalizing to themselves what mattered most. And that's what made the difference. That's what built integrity. That's what built courage. And that's what built the strength of character to have a community that became a nation worth living in. Through the recent decades, I would say maybe the last 10 decades, priorities have overtaken what matters most. Most people don't even think about what matters most because it might interfere with their priorities. It might give them a problem if they really looked at what matters most. But I want to tell you today, my friends, that whether you vocalize and honor and own what matters most or not, your prayer, every prayer you pray to God, comes from what matters most. I want you to think about it. You probably have a little bit of trouble praying about what's trivial. But if you have a parent or a child become sick, or something that's very dear to you to become threatened and possibly lost, you pray without hesitation for the things that matter most. Those things are already in your heart, and that's how you connect with God. You connect with God through what matters most. And if you don't take a moment in time to honor and value what matters most, you will weaken your prayers. Not only that, you can actually contradict your prayers by praying for trivia that you think matters when you don't even take the time to know what matters most. I would say there's probably nothing that God honors most for you than what you honor most for yourself. And finding that out, getting back in touch with that, having the courage to own in your life what matters most, is a bigger subject than you might think it is. This is something that I have been brought, it's just been brought to the forefront of my attention as I deal with the issues of my life right now. I don't think since I started this work 20 years ago, I've had to make more critical choices about what comes next. We're losing our lease, which means we have to move. We are having to change the way we publish our books, because we have carried the entire load to the point of being in the red, making absolutely no money whatsoever on the books we sell, and then having to cover the cost of that with other products that I create to cover the cost of getting the books out. It's been way too complicated. Way too complicated. It has to be simplified, and we have to move what we're doing through the eye of the needle, because for me, what matters most is keeping you and Yeshua together, keeping for him a new audience that is expanding his teachings into a new millennium with a new language, a new heart, a new connection that can spread around the world. Partially to do that, we're building a Facebook community. We're doing our webinars. We're having, we're creating a better, more viable website that we can offer more direct videos for you on. Because what matters most to me is this work that I do with Yeshua and getting him in a better, more believable connection with you, so that you will walk with him and seek his blessings. And of course, along with that comes the Sunday blessing calls. And as soon as I get my health back, then it would be my privilege to offer more seminars for more people to become blessing givers, because I know the power of the work that this is. This is amazing work. And in order to make that happen, I've had to humble myself a little bit and realize, finally, I can't do all of this myself. This is a community. We have to do this as a community. It's my job to make things work and to cut the costs down so that it can work and so that it can go in perpetuity. So, you know, I've got my job cut out for me. I've got my designated responsibilities. But overall, the longevity of this will way outlive me. Way outlive me. And so, I had to realize that I owe it to you to extend responsibility to you and let you participate to the degree that you can, to the degree that you have a calling for the benefit of your life and everyone you love. And hopefully you will think about what matters most to you. But it's not just in this. You know, I look at my personal life. Well, I love my husband, my family. I love the way we live our life together. How can we share that? How can we love that more? You see, I think that getting back to what matters most is a really big part of the we cycle. When we're in the me cycle, it kind of takes care of itself, because me identifies, whoever the me is, has an immediate identification. Okay, what are my strengths? What would I like to accomplish? What would I like to give to the world? What's my best foot forward, et cetera, et cetera. You've been there, you know the story. And you can probably look back on your own life and see how some of these changes have happened. But I think that it's time, not that we abandon our priorities, because we still have to have them for organizational reasons, application reasons, goal reasons. But there's something way more important than that. And so we're going to do a webinar. It's our next webinar, and you will receive your invitation to join us. I so hope you will, because this is not just functional information. This is information that will carry you into the new millennium in the most powerful way, in the great new we cycle, so that it's not just you're going along with the flow. So many people are just riding with the flow, and they'll check in on Facebook and they'll say, oh, what are what's everybody doing? Okay, what's happening next? Let's just stay in touch. But there's no positive action happening. Okay, we need to have more positive action. We need to have more people who will stand up, like the framers of the Declaration of Independence, and declare what matters most. What is it? You know, we've got a few wonderful people like the Dalai Lama, and he lives that as a standard of life. But we need more than one, two, or three, or four, or five, or a dozen. We need thousands of people who are waking up and living the what matters most creed. And I really believe that in doing that, you will be better blessing givers, because Christ's presence within you will be stronger, more palpable, and his energy will move into a harmonic energy with yours. Just like if you've seen sine waves that move at the same harmony, they're more powerful than waves that move in different, conflicting harmonies. By doing this, the Holy Spirit moves with you. The very Spirit of God moves with you. Your prayers are more powerful. And another thing about this, which comes down to relationships and physical healing. Let me just mention physical healing first. Your body is an efficiency machine. It doesn't like to be overloaded. Have you ever noticed in a crisis situation you'll break out in sweat, and you'll have a little anxiety and maybe breathe. You might even hyperventilate. You just want to sit down. And you might have to, you know, put your head down just for a minute and say, oh, you know, your body gets overwhelmed. Your body is a simplicity machine. It's a machine that works on what matters most. When it's sleepy, it keels over. It puts you to sleep, my friends. When it's hungry, if it doesn't have good food to eat, it'll binge. But by golly, it'll find some food to eat. Your body is simplistic. It has a few simplistic desires, and it wants those desires. Now, it's up to us to manage those desires so that they're directed toward the optimum state of fulfillment. But again, it's all about what matters most. We could apply this to our food, and then we apply this to our relationships. All relationships function better when you can agree between each other what matters most. And finding a way to do that without fighting over the one bone, without fighting over, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, it becomes easy to have different hobbies, different diversions, different preferences about movies and a lot of other things if you can agree on what matters most. That's actually what solves almost every relationship. It is what works. And so this is what we're going to talk about in our webinar. Everything from God to relationships to food to work, career, happiness, enjoying your life, owning your life. You cannot own your life through just setting up goal level priorities. How often have you set up priorities that you knew were the right priorities to get to a conference goal, and you didn't like any step along the way? You couldn't own it. You did it because you knew it worked, but you didn't care for it. You didn't like it. So by the time you got to the end result and you had a win, an accomplishment, it didn't matter because you'd done too many things you didn't like to do. How different would it be to own your life every step of the way? This is where we all are, because we're all going to be asked to make some critical changes. And if we can make those critical changes and not throw the baby out with the bathwater, if we can make that climb up the mountain, and then when we get there, love the valley we see on the other side, then we'll know it was all worth it, because we have a beautiful life to live. So that I would love to go on and on with you, and I think you can feel the passion in my voice about this subject. This is going to be a webinar you will cherish for the rest of your life, because it will so fill your life with everything you've been wanting. And I just hope that you will do it, and we can do it together, and we can climb that mountain together and have the wonderful vista on the other side together. But for now, let's have a blessing together. Let's invite the Holy Spirit and Yeshua to bring to our life all the empowerment of our prayers. I invite you to be in your prayer, and I invite you to
down.
Just allow yourself to fall into your heart. I'm going to be muting this.
Yeah, you got to go along.
Okay. I think we may have had a lead through call somewhere. But anyway, we're fine now. So I ask every one of you to let your attention fall into your heart and be there quietly in the prayer that you always pray, because you always pray for what matters most. And just quietly embrace it, own it, and receive the blessings of God raining upon it as the blessing givers and I provide the conduit for the energy of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and the guidance and love of Christ. Dear Yeshua, be with us in all things that matter most. Walk with us. Show us what's really in our hearts, that we may embrace what matters most, and we may disconnect from the draining trivia of life that impinges upon us and distracts us from what matters most. We thank you for your love, your healing, for bringing to us the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and all things that carry us to our fulfillment. Amen. We should you please continue your prayer. We will conduct the energy of the blessing. Your blessing is complete. You are loved and filled with the grace of God. Now go and rest. Receive, assimilate this into all parts of your body, heart, soul, and being. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye from me.